If you have not been listening to the latest EPP bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online, you don't know what you're missing.
It was so real to me. I could smell him. He was there. And I woke up and it was like he had just left.
GhostPodcast.com is where you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to get exclusive access to our once a week bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
I felt heavy and freaked out. Someone was most definitely watching me.
Complete with exclusive content only for EPP members.
They thought they were mistaken. The house wasn't there. They got out of the truck and stood looking at a large, unattended hayfield.
EPP bonus video, only for EPP members.
And I'm like, what kind of sign are you looking for if that's not a sign?
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or sign up through Patreon. The link is at ghostpodcast.com. I wanted to hear the answer to, did they find bodies underneath the building?
I did too. I was like, I was just sure she was going to say, and then they found bodies.
If you want to hear the best ghost stories we have, along with our regular funny and non-judgmental commentary, become an EPP.
This is a pond created by a giant off rock of the United States. I'm going to guess the translation there is.
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for an entire year. Get 1 month free out of that and a bonus bunk bed bell. So you can ring along at home. Keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive and be part of our exclusive EPP community. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. It is our live edition of the program. We do it about once a week, Wednesdays, 4 o'clock Central on our Facebook page. If you care to join us, we'd love to have you. The phone number to call in on today's episode and only during our live episode as we do it live is 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 to share your real ghost stories with us. We can't wait to hear your ghost stories on today's live edition of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Call into the show live. Phone number is on the screen if you're watching this live on Facebook or YouTube. That is the number 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10. As we do a live show, if you're calling outside of the live window, then be calling on the other line. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email in your story to us, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at Real Ghost Stories Online. So lots of ways to get your stories to us. Do greatly appreciate all the stories that you guys have been sending in. Very much enjoy sharing them here on the program. Let's see here. Got some calls coming up in queue, and I'm going to go to a caller at 2110 first and a caller at 724 second. So hang on one moment. I know a lot of folks have been, doing summer vacation, and you kind of get out of your normal routine of things a bit. So I wanted to answer a couple questions because I have I've already addressed this a few times on the show, but I get it. You miss things here and there, and I don't expect everybody to be sitting there going, I'm going to listen to every single word Tony says, and I'm not going to forget a thing. I get it. I totally get it. But I get a lot of questions. You've obviously heard some new co-hosts on the show the past couple of weeks or so. And I just want to kind of give you an idea, an update on what we're doing with the show. We're not trying to hide anything or anything of that. We're just trying to, I just want to answer what's going on, because you probably noticed there's some differences going on with the show. And as it has always evolved, the show initially began with just me, and then Jenny came on the show. And Jenny is still part of the show. But what we decided to do, because Jen's working on getting actually her own business up and running and put together, and it's summer too when the kids are here, so it's a busy time, to put it lightly. But with all of that and all the things that she's trying to be involved with, we've added some more co-hosts to the show, not only to make the show even more interesting, to add some other folks who love the paranormal, who are very interested in it and have their own perspectives and stories to share on the topic. We've added them to allow her to do some of the stuff that she wants to do while still being a part of the show. So essentially what we have now is kind of a mix of me, Jenny, Carol, and Sean. And those three kind of rotating co-hosting duties from episode to episode. So that's how the show is going to be going forward with new perspectives and new stories and all that. So it's an interesting thing. It's you know, you can never really quite predict where a show is going to go over time. But I think the only way shows really survive in the long run is evolving and adding new things and changing things and moving things around, but while keeping the core of what it's all about. And that's what this show still is. Nothing has changed there, you'll notice. In fact, well, I have changed one thing, but I've kind of gone back to something I used to do where we had calls and letters on the same episode, and we're adding that kind of back in. I like that. I like that flow, that feel. So you'll see a mixture of both on all the episodes as well going forward. But that's what's going on. She's not missing in the mountains or the Ozarks somewhere. She's here, and everything is all good. But I just wanted to kind of get that, throw that out there, so as clear as possible. It's not buried in an episode somewhere. That's what's going on. That's our show. And during the day here live, it's very difficult for her to be doing it live with me. So that's why you got me about once a week doing the live shows. So still here, still part of it. That's just that's what we're doing. So there we go. If you have any questions, feel free to shoot me an email. 216-446-7810 is our phone number. Let's go to our first caller here who's been on hold. Caller at 724, you hang on the line. First caller at 210, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Jennifer. I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Hey, Jennifer, welcome to the program. I'd love to hear your ghost story.
Oh, great. Well, I just wanted to call in. Me and my girlfriend every year go to a haunted hotel for Halloween, and I wanted to tell you an episode that happened, or an incident that happened when I stayed at the Emily Morgan Hotel, which is actually right to the left of the historic Alamo, which y'all just did a podcast on it.
Sure.
And whatnot. But I wanted to say that... Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
It's okay.
So me and my boyfriend had went out to dinner, and we went back up to the room to change because it was a little chilly. We were going to take a carriage ride. And we got back to the room, and as soon as I got in the room, I had this oppressive feeling come over me. And, you know, I had a drink at dinner. You know, I wasn't, you know, I felt fine before, and I felt so much oppression that I actually had to sit on the bed. And when I sat down on the bed in the room, I was so tired. I never felt so tired in my life. And I had to lay down. And my boyfriend was kind of like tinkering around in the room waiting for me, and, you know, kind of just giving me a minute at myself. And he actually, after a while, came and sat on the edge of the bed and kind of put his hand on me. He was like, "Hey, well, you know, what's going on? Are you all right?" And I was just telling him, you know, I feel really strange. Like, you know, totally fine. And as soon as we got in the room, I've never felt so tired in my life, and I was telling him what was going on. Well, simultaneously, when I was telling him what was going on, I see him look behind me, and at the very same time, I saw this shadow come up from kind of like at the back of the wall. It was in my peripheral to the right, and I saw this shadow, and literally, it was like he was looking at it, and I saw it, and it darted to my left, and I saw him immediately see the exact same thing. And as soon as it came up from behind me and darted, the feeling went away instantly. And it was a really creepy feeling. That that hotel is just synonymous for being a haunted hotel. Of course, it's in Alamo Plaza, which where the Battle of the Alamo happened. A lot of people die there. It actually used to be a hospital at one time, and it was like kind of an insane asylum. It was one of San Antonio's first skyscrapers, and I just really feel like perhaps maybe I was affected by something that kind of attached to me. Mm-hmm. and then it lifted. And when it lifted, my boyfriend saw it, and it was just the craziest thing that I've ever experienced.
Did it make you feel any comfort knowing that someone else saw or experienced what was going on? And it wasn't just you kind of having this overcoming feeling, or did that make it even scarier because it made it more real?
You know, I'm going to lean on the side of comfort because I'd never felt that before. You know, it was just, I'd never felt so tired in my life. It literally put me down.
Yeah.
And when seeing his reaction, and we both realized what happened, like, we immediately left that hotel room and we went out and, you know, went and did our little carriage ride and then came back and nothing happened. I wasn't really fearful. I've always kind of been, obviously, an avid paranormal chaser. And so obviously I stayed in these hotels because I, you know, want something to happen. And it happened that time.
Sure. It's almost be careful what you wish for sometimes when it's like, I can't wait for something to happen. I want
Absolutely.
Something to happen. Then it happens. You're like, oh shit, maybe.
And then it is.
I'm good without it from now on. You had your
Absolutely.
Ride and you're good. Cool. Well, thanks for calling in and sharing that. That story with us this afternoon. Appreciate it. Phone number is 216-446-7810, 216-446-7810. Gosh, I know it's only been 2 weeks because we were off last week for the holiday, but it feels like it's been longer since we've done a live show. Caller at 724, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Andrea, and I'm calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Andrea, welcome to the program. Let's hear your ghost story.
All right. Well, this happened, I want to say my daughter was 5 and she's 12 now. So it's been a little bit of time, but it's really a story about how her and our dog Hunter became best friends. So Hunter came with my husband. When we moved into his house, we were just dating. Regan is mine and not his. So it was, he got like a built-in family. He had Hunter, I had Regan, so it was kind of like a trade-off.
Sure.
We moved in the house. He'd lived there for 5 or 6 years and had never said anything had happened or anything like that, so it wasn't even on our radar. Well, Regan was never a child that complained about anything. She was never the child that would cry and say, I don't want to go to bed. It was, you know, like normal, like 4-year-old, well, I want to stay up and play. Well, no, you can't.
Sure.
It's bedtime. So she would just go. So one night she starts bawling because I say, Regan, okay, it's bedtime. Mommy, I don't want to go to bed. Bawling, tears, big tears, bawling. And I'm, okay, all right, what's the problem? Like, what is this all of a sudden? Well, I'm scared. Okay, why? I'm scared of the things in my room. And I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's look. I'm thinking there's like a lamp and, you know, because of the nightlight and it's casting a scary shadow. I'm like, okay, so let's go up the stairs and look. So we go up and look and I said, is it because of this thing on your dresser? Do we need to move your lamp? You know, what's going on? And she's, no, it's none of that. And she's still sobbing, like beside herself with grief about this. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, so what's the problem? She says, it's the things that are in my room. And I was like, well, I just looked at all of these things. There's nothing in here.
Yeah.
She said, it's the thing that comes out of my closet. And I was like, okay, what are you talking about? The thing that comes out of your closet. And she said, the dark thing that comes out of my closet. And I knew what she was talking about because I had seen this dark thing myself. I never talked about it with her. I never talked about it with my husband because clearly I don't want to make it a thing if it's not a thing.
Sure.
So for her to say that, I just, okay, what's going on? Well, to make her feel better, I didn't tell her that I had seen it. She's too young. I didn't want to go there, but I was just like, okay, how about if we have Hunter sleep with you in your bedroom? Because at that point, he slept with me and Richard, who's my husband. And she said, okay. So we had her go get the dog, and he came up and laid under the bed. Everything seemed okay. We went down. She went to sleep. Well, then every night after that, it became, okay, Hunter, it's bedtime. Regan would get him and take him up the stairs with her. Well, I would notice that some nights he'd be under the bed all night long and it was fine. Some nights he'd be up on the end of the bed and it was okay there too. And then other nights he would push her to the wall and he would lay on the edge of the bed. And as soon as he heard us coming up the stairs, he was immediately up and like, what is going on? Who is this? And when he would see it was us, he would lay back down and all was right with the world. I really think that he saw it too. And he just was like, okay, this is my kid now. You stay away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that one time was the only time that she ever gave us problems after we had the dog start going to bed with her. And they've been best friends ever since. Every night it's still, okay, Hunter, let's go to bed. And he just drops his chubby little butt right along with her. I don't know. I mean, she had to be seeing what I was seeing.
Yeah, obviously.
And I'm not in the house right now with her because I don't want to bring this in, sure, into being for her in case, yeah, she doesn't remember.
Oh, and that's a good idea. I mean, it is no sense in trying to or having to reconjure this up figuratively or naturally. You know, it's one of those things where it's a good thing, you know, that you actually did experience it and see it. So you didn't just think, oh, kids make up stories. And you know, she's just, oftentimes these things get written off. And then 30 years later, they call into this show talking about how mom and dad didn't believe me. But turns out they saw it, too. And there's not that realization at the time, which can help everyone get through it if that's how it's handled. Rather than, you know, oh, by the way, I know you're about to die. But that boogeyman you saw in your room, I know it was real. I know you weren't making that up. It's like, oh, thanks, Mom. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But did you see it? Then she's gone. So it is good that, you know, you're able to, you know, console, relate. But again, sitting in and I guess dwelling, for lack of a better term, or rehashing it up, that's not going to help anything. Interesting story, very creepy.
Right.
And hopefully that's the end of the story, I guess, is what I would say. So
yeah, for that, because we've since moved out of that house, so it stayed when we left.
Good. Did you put it on the real estate listing by any chance of, like, lovely room with a ghost?
No, no, we didn't say a word.
See, being like a nice little amenity. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us this afternoon. I do greatly, greatly appreciate it. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost story, 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10. If you're listening to us live, there's a caller at 931. You hang on. We'll get to you next. First, caller at 317, dialing in first. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Mary W. from Indianapolis.
Oh, hey.
The Cemetery Lights lady calling back.
Great. Let's hear your story.
Do you remember me?
I do. Let's. You got another
one
for
us? Okay. You're cutting out just a little, but
go for it.
It's okay. I'll go ahead. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Let's hear your story.
Okay. It was about, I guess it was about back in 2011. I went back to the Haunted Cemetery in Mount Jackson in Indianapolis, on Indianapolis' west side, with a friend. And I told him I wanted to visit. It was after church and it was in the same neighborhood. So I liked going in there. It's relaxing to me, but I just had some odd things happen in there. And I just like to see, you know, what's going on, so to speak. So I found out that some people from the state mental institution were buried over right next, well, it's part sort of right, it's not really in the cemetery itself, but it's right next to it. And I wanted to walk along that fence line because I never knew, you know, exactly where they were, and then I found out from the township trustee office lady where they were at. And they've since erected a marker and tried to put as many names of the patients as they could on there. And it was lightly starting to rain. And I know the fall was in the air. It looked like waves in the air. And I heard a voice like, hey, and then I went back to my truck because it was starting to rain, like I said. I said, before I go, pull up by the mausoleum and let me walk behind there because I've never been back there before. And it was still just lightly raining, but it never bothers me anyway. Mm-hmm. So I got out. My boyfriend, he just, you know, he's just real patient. He's like, okay. So I went back behind the mausoleum / now it's a maintenance building that I told you about, which Joanna Scott Thompson used to be interred in that mausoleum, but they made them bury her due to health regulations because she was in a glass coffin and people would file through the cemetery gates to view her. But I just wanted to look back there because I never walked back there before. So I go around back behind the mausoleum and I'm like, what is this? I see about three or four rows. That's all there was room for, because there's some trees back there, about maybe 20 by 20 feet wide. And there were these rows of looked like brand new headstones from the 18th century. And I was like really puzzled by that, because each one were from the same time period, mm-hmm. and different dates, of course. And I was like, that's a head scratcher. So I thought, well, I'm not going to ask the township people about that. Well, I mentioned it, but she had never been there. And she was kind of like, well, I guess anything's possible. Yeah, we have some really old headstones in there. We even have like a Civil War soldier buried in a cemetery. He has a wooden headstone. And I visit him, too, on occasion. And anyway, I got back in the truck, left, and then fast forward to just the last, this past April. Well, my boyfriend passed away. He was older. I'm older too. I'm 64. Anyway, he passed away. And, so my son took it back. He goes, cause he had asked me, I was on the way home from the library. On the way home from the doctor's office. And he says, any place you want to go? And I said, yeah, instead of the library, we're on the way by there anyway. How about we just stop by the cemetery? And he knew which one I was talking about. And so I told him the stories, and he's been trying to see the lights, has never seen the cemetery lights, those red lights in the cemetery. So we pull in, and I get out, and I have my new camera phone, which I never didn't have last time I was there, and snapped several pictures and put them in my group called, it's called Pull Up a Chair on Facebook. But I put several pictures in there. And then I went around back behind the maintenance building again because I thought, you know, I really wanted to drag my boyfriend back there before to look at those headstones because I thought it was really, really strange that they looked like they were brand new. And when I walked back there again this time, this past April, I walked back there and my mouth dropped open and they weren't there. There was like maybe one or two headstones as you're walking around the maintenance building, but there was maybe one or two back there. That was it. But they were like from the night, the 20th century.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was, 18th century, 19th century, whatever, but there was only like maybe just a smattering, one or two back there, and that was it. And my mouth dropped open. I thought, whoa, you know, what happened here? And I went back and got in the car, and I had taken a picture of myself by the mausoleum. When I got home and uploaded the picture of myself, I was really pale. I looked really, really pale because I was telling my son about it. I'm like, Brian, this is so weird. You won't believe it. I'm like, well, I wish I, you know, I, of course he couldn't have been around today to testify to it. If I dragged him back there with me to see those headstones, mm-hmm. that are no longer there. It was almost like a step back in time or something. And yeah. I don't know what it was. There's just, it
very
really
much, very
strange
much like a
happening,
like a time slip type thing. We've had stories before, you know, of homes, of buildings, of, you know, older looking buildings, and even buildings. We had one. Mm-hmm. I don't recall all of the details, but I remember the premise of it was there was a party going on in this house, and some folks, they were like waved and invited in, and they passed on it and kept going. But when they came back, house was abandoned and no one was there, and it was like this is impossible. There could not have been a party going on here two nights ago. That sort of stuff happens.
I heard that.
As far as what is going on, that's the biggest question. I mean, mm-hmm. it's very bizarre and paranormal and ghostly. I can only, my first thought, I think, would be, when you're walking by those old gravestones that look like, you know, that are dated from a different time period, because I've been to a lot of graveyards in my life. Of I just enjoy, I find them peaceful. I like walking around them. I like learning about who's in there. Too. And it's just, it's a neat thing. And I don't even like really find it that ghostly. I just like the atmosphere. But what my first guess would be, oh, well, maybe, you know, they knew that these graves were there and the markers had been destroyed or deteriorated, and maybe they just decided to put some new fresh markers up so everyone could know that there was, in fact, these mm-hmm. individuals there. Because that does happen. You see that sometimes. You're like, wow, right, that's a new-looking stone. But the way it seemed to happen for you, I just kind of had that feeling that's where it was going, where you're going to come back and the markers are all deteriorated and it's like you were visiting them fresh, but they were from a different time. And that's, it happens, I guess is all I can say is it happens. I don't know how or why, but, that would be, I don't know what I would find more disturbing or more creepy personally. Actually, like being in a cemetery and seeing a full bodied apparition hanging out over its stone, or an experience like mm-hmm. that where it's almost like, did I travel into a different time period, or did another time period travel to me? That's, I think that's mm-hmm. really the question, but, very good story.
Right.
Either way. Thank
well,
you.
Well, I'm going to call back with another one, another night.
Okay.
About one, titled, you could call it the witch's house.
All right.
There's a house in the neighborhood I grew up in, and it's a really good story.
I'm looking forward to it.
All righty then.
All right. Thanks.
Nice. I love hearing the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in this afternoon and sharing that with us. Our number is 216-446-7810. Phone lines are completely open right now. We had a caller that was on hold, but I think they gave up while we were on the line there. So if you want to call back, feel free. The phone lines, like I said, completely open right now at 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us. Want to let you know that with a few days left, we're doing a book promotion right now. Probably the last time we're going to do this book promotion for quite some time, maybe around Christmas or something, we'll do it again. But if you become a yearly EPP, I know I have it said for ending in the 15th of July, but by the time this airs in the podcast form, it will be far past that. So just reference that you heard the offer and I will honor it, even if you catch this in late July, early August, I'll still honor it. But I'm promoting it between now and July 15th, but I'll honor it to the end of summer. If you become a yearly EPP or upgrade to a yearly EPP or renew an existing yearly EPP membership, I will get you an e-copy of our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. I have one right down here. My phone is resting on it, which is feeding YouTube. So we'll get you an e-copy, electronic copy of this. I'll send you the link to download so you can read that on your smart devices, your pads, whatever you want to use to read that this summer. When you become a yearly EPP or renew a yearly EPP, just email Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. When you do that, and we'll get that to you. There were some questions I saw on the Facebook feed about our book. Where's the hard copy edition? Well, if you take cardboard, really thick cardboard, and put it into the paperback, you have a hard copy. So that's how that will work. There is no hard copy of the book right now. It is all paperback, but you can find it pretty much anywhere if you want to actually buy the physical copy of the book. Amazon, it is in bookstores everywhere, Barnes & Noble, what are the bookstores today? Borders? Wherever books are sold, essentially, is what I should say. Is Walden Books around? I used to love Walden Books. Walden Books was like, that was my store. I loved as a kid. I'd run to the back and go and read Goosebumps books pick the latest one. I'd always be looking forward to the latest one when I was a kid. Hi, Laura Krause. My godmother's watching right now. Hi. Love you. Hope you're doing well. And there's my mom, too. She's there, too. So there you go. My whole family is watching this afternoon. What's everybody? It's 4:30 on a... Anyway. So that's... you can get the book anywhere books are sold. Let's go to a caller at 412. What's your name? And where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hi. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi. This is Colleen, and I'm calling from Pittsburgh.
Okay, let's hear your ghost story, Colleen.
P.S. Okay, so I just want to say this is awesome.
Thank you.
Talking to you right now, and I'll just jump right into the story.
All right.
Okay, so I went to, this is going to get pretty interesting, I guess. Okay. I went to college at California University of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So it's a confusing title, but their big claim to fame is they were, the school was there before the state was part of the union. So the backstory with CalU is it's an interesting place. There's a old cemetery buried behind one of the dorms. And that's a different story. But me and my friends, Anne, and Amanda and Jessica, we all got an apartment together that was off campus. And Anne's kind of one of the skeptical people, but she's into the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm Catholic, but she's more into the spiritual things. Like, she used to call herself a Wiccan, and I'm like, oh, okay. But me and her were best friends. So one night, I'm like messing around in my room, putting stuff together, doing homework. I don't remember. She was out in the living room at the time with our other friend, and she had a Ouija board. And I know where you think this is going, and that's exactly where it's kind of going.
All right.
And I walk out there. What? Yeah?
Go ahead, continue on.
Marco. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something. Okay, so I walk out there, and they're like, Colleen, come join us. And I'm looking at it like it's on fire, basically, because, you know, I'm Catholic. And I'm like, I'll pass. Well, they talked me into it, so I joined them, and the whole thing happened like, are you moving it? I'm not moving it. Are you moving it? That whole argument. Well, we closed it down or whatever, and I'm like, okay, I'm done, whatever. Well, the following night, or was it later that night? I really don't remember. This was a few years ago. Where Anne and everyone else.
And that's why cell phones suck. I wanted to hear more of the story. Are you there? I'll do the obligatory as. Are you there?
I don't know.
There you are. You came back.
I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Great. I almost dropped you. Continue on. Continue on. Go ahead. Sorry? Go ahead. Continue.
What part did I lose you at?
At this point, I don't know. It was about 30 seconds ago, so just pick
up. Okay, all right, I'll start. Okay, so I was watching a movie or something, and they all went out. Well, I heard the front door, and it was a heavy metal door. And I was like, oh, they're back. So I walked out, but no one was there. And her side of the apartment was completely dark. So then I'm like, okay, well, that's weird. Well, they came back, and when I walked out to see them, her bedroom light was on, but no other light was on. And I already walked over there seeing if they were there, and no one was there. This light just turned on, which freaked me out. And then a following, like, later that night, we all went to bed. Well, we heard this crash, and Anne and I, we made these paintings. And we didn't really hang them up, but I had one sitting very securely on the fire flasher thing.
Sure.
And it fell down, but it went like 6 feet across the room. And I was like, what the hell's that? So the next day I kept trying to manipulate it, but I couldn't get it to go that far again. Luckily, nothing else happened to me, but Anne didn't stay that whole school year. She left. But what I found was weird was no one could stay in her room. Like, there was always a roommate problem or something the following years, even after I left. So that's my story. It was really mild and tame.
Well, hey, sometimes getting it out there is half the fun of it, and, you know, somewhat therapeutic sometimes just to be able to share it amongst folks who, you know, are open to it and are not going to be like, that's the what, you know, and question 52 elements of it. So I appreciate the call.
I have a couple other, like, good stories, but that was the starter one.
Well, thank you for that one. We do this thing live every single Wednesday afternoon at about 4 o'clock Central Time. So do call in again with more stories, all right?
All right, of course. Bye. You have a great summer.
All right, you too. Thank you very much for dialing in. 216-446-7810 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. Caller at 405. What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name is Gina, and I'm calling from Oklahoma.
All right, Gina, welcome to the program. Let's hear your story.
Well, I've got several, but I'll give you one that's the most recent. I mean, we've been in this house for about 12 years. We built the house, so don't really know the history that might have been on the land, but I don't know if that really matters because it's happened ever since I was a little girl. But the most recent was this past, I guess, 10 months. It started out that I have two teenage boys, and one of them woke up and he thought maybe I was asleep, I guess. Like 3 o'clock in the morning, he saw me, what he thought was me, walking by, and he asked me, what were you doing walking, you know, through the living room about 3 a.m.? And I said, I wasn't. And I said, well, what was I wearing? And what he described was not anything that I have. So that was the first one that was a little curious. And then, my older, they share a bedroom, and the oldest one, was freaked out and came running into my room and said, somebody just sighed in my ear. And, so we just kind of, you know, I kind of just talked him down and helped him to try to go back to sleep. I don't know what I told him. And then, it started, then it was a little bit more frequent. And then, so I've got one, an 18 and a 16. So the 16, said that he woke up and there was a chair at his desk, and he said he woke up and there was a person that was just all black sitting in the chair. And, I said, well, what'd you do? And he goes, I just looked at it and I rolled over and went to sleep. And so, he couldn't sleep with the chair. So he took the chair out of the room. So then it was in the next week, my 18-year-old woke up and he said that I saw what I thought was you was the same height standing in the room. And he goes, the room was dark, but it was darker than the room. And he goes, and I said, what'd you do? He goes, I just went to sleep, which I find so interesting that I don't understand the going to sleep. But so then I think it was about 2 weeks later, the 16-year-old woke up and he said, I saw that same shadow figure, which is your height, was standing in front of my bedroom door. And he said, I just stared at it. I just wanted to really look and concentrate and really see what I was looking. And he said it looked like everything was moving, like you could see molecules and they were moving really fast at a high vibration. And I said, well, how'd you feel? And he said, I felt protected, which that was, I mean, I'm glad that he thought that way. So he rolled over and went to sleep. And then the next week, him and his friend are in the game room and the light turned off, and they both thought somebody else did it. Well, when his friend looked over at the light switch, he said he saw five glowing balls that were just kind of floating over by the light switch. And of course they were screaming, running out of the room. And I don't know. Then I don't know why there was such an intensity. I mean, they were I'd made some brownies and then they were in the kitchen and they start screaming and I go in there and the pot rack was just swinging back and forth really. And they swore they didn't touch it. And then we would just walk in and the pot rack, one chain would be shaking violently. And so I made my husband go up in the attic just to make sure that there wasn't something over, maybe that particular screw that goes into the, you know, you screw, it's got like a, and so there's nothing above it. And I don't understand what, you know, so it's not really logically making sense. So anyway, we did do kind of a cleansing with some, sage and, said the Lord's Prayer, and everything's been quiet ever since. So we're not really sure what that was, but I'm sure something will happen again. It always does. Maybe not to that degree. But
well, it's good things did seem to calm down a bit. I mean, for you after that, I mean, that's, it's one of those, you know, situations where it's just, yeah, you know, what exactly, you know, do you do, especially when there's probably a lot of assumption going on where the kids are thinking, oh, this is you, because that's naturally what you would think of someone of your height, of someone of your shape. But, you know, you get to know someone, obviously, and you think, oh, well, that's that person because that person should be here. But when it's not that person and it's almost kind of taking on that that appearance, that's where things obviously get a bit more confusing for anybody around. So, interesting. What is positive about it is the fact that they seem to have a, you know, almost a comforting vibe out of this, and it wasn't a, you know, oh my God, I'm scared to death, mm-hmm. but it was more so, you know, caretaker, not, you know, nothing negative. And I think half the time, the feeling that someone gets when having an experience like that says a lot about what's going on and what it is they're interacting with. Just because sometimes that intuition is going to tell you whether it's really bad or really good. It's just, it's hard to know. Thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us this afternoon.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. 216-446-7810 is our phone number. 216-GHOST-10 is our number. I have not even asked this yet, but if you wouldn't mind, please do press share on Facebook of this. Let other folks know that we are doing this thing live, because as you know, Facebook kind of changes up its algorithms every other week and how it wants to let people know when you're doing something that you've signed up to know about. And sometimes it takes other folks to go and say, hey, this is going on. So it says, oh, other people may want to know about this. I know a couple of you already have, and I really appreciate that. But please do press share if you're watching this live so other folks can find it as we do this thing. In fact, I'll make it worth your while. I will pick one person who presses share on this afternoon and get you an e-copy of our book. After the program, I'll go through and see everybody that did it, and I will randomly grab one of you and shoot you a message and say, hey, thank you. Here's an e-copy of the book for your help in letting other folks know that we are doing this thing live this afternoon. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Samuel Lee, thank you for sharing. I do appreciate that. And welcome home, buddy. I wish I could be up there to hang out and do some fireworks. Can you still do fireworks in our hometown at this point anymore? Or is that are they like, I don't remember what the laws are, but I'm glad you're back and safe. Let's see here. Phone number is 216-446-7810. 216-GHOST-10 to share your real ghost stories with us. Phone lines are open as we get into the last leg of the program here this afternoon. 216-446-7810 to share your ghost stories with us. New EPP coming out later tonight, tomorrow morning, one of the two. I'm not quite sure when it's set to release, but really interesting stories in there. In fact, a lot of stories about dads. It was one of those episodes. Carol is co-hosting it with me, and she, you know how our show sometimes I was trying to do the promo earlier today, and I had to record it like 10 times because I have such a convoluted way of sharing these things. So forgive me as I try and convolutedly share what this EPP episode is about, because it all came together organically. You know how on our show sometimes stories end up going into a theme, and we didn't plan it that way. We don't pre-plan what stories are going into what show. I kind of grab them. I make sure they're readable. I make sure it's an airable call. That's about it. I don't really get into much of the depth of it. Sometimes I listen to a few seconds to try and get a headline for the beginning of the show to kind of tease what's coming up. But I don't really listen to them until you're hearing them at the same time. So we're all absorbing it simultaneously. But it ended up being a show about fathers returning with a message, whether it be through a dream, whether it be through physically appearing. And one of the really interesting things about the episode is Carol had just returned to her home the day that we recorded it earlier in the week from a trip that she takes every year to Chicago And it's a trip that she does to commemorate a time that she had spent with her father when he was around. So it all just pieced together creepily perfectly and emotionally perfectly. It's one of those things where you don't know how or why it's piecing together. You have to wonder sometimes if somebody's hearing this and they're just hearing this episode at the right time in the right place, almost like hearing a song on the radio at the right time in the right place for whatever they're going through. But that's what this week's EPP episode is about. Father's returning, and not planned, but it ends up being the theme of the entire episode. Some really interesting stories on there from you guys, as well as Carol shares some really interesting insight and stories as well. So you don't want to miss that. It's Father's Return, I believe is what it's called. And that's out either late tonight or tomorrow morning. Whenever it drops, it'll be within the next 24 hours. So please do check that out. I saw Sam had a question. Tony, what are you going to be for Halloween this year? Ghostbuster or Mortal Kombat character? No, Sam is my cousin. We of course trick-or-treated together forever when we were kids. So for Halloween this year, I don't know. I've been kind of like doing the zombie thing for, I don't know, roughly 30 years. Is that what we're going on? I did Ghostbuster once or twice. I did do a Mortal Kombat character in like 1993 or so. It was Baraka, because it was kind of zombie and scary-ish looking. But I don't know. I haven't done a ton of dressing up in a long time. I did. Harper became a zombie last year, I believe, for the first time. And she wasn't a huge fan of that because of the liquid latex and getting it off. And she thought that was just awful. But it was fun. I'm hoping maybe if she gets a little bit older, she'll want to be a zombie again. But this next year, I don't know. I was actually going through because I moved our studio here at the house from our one office, and I moved to another office and moved all the equipment and everything this week, and was going through some closets. And I found a Michael Jackson outfit, actually, where I was zombie Michael Jackson one year, probably 10, 12 years ago now. But that was a creepy, fun one. But hey, Mom, I saved the outfit for you because I know you like to be Michael Jackson quite a bit for Halloween. So you can have that one back if you'd like, or I can throw it away. One of the two. It's an older outfit that I made years ago for that. What state is your show from? Says Chris. We are broadcasting from Missouri, from the Ozarks. We are in Branson, Missouri, actually just a little bit outside of it, towards the Branson West area, in the middle of the hills or the mountains. Any word on Richard from Chattanooga? Steven says, no. I wish I could answer that in greater depth. It's not that I don't want to. I just have nothing to share. I have no updates. Ever since he shared those stories years ago, that's one of the most haunting stories I think that we've ever had on this show. But no updates in all those years. One weird call. I know I've mentioned this about a year or two after we stopped hearing from him. And it could have been complete BS. I have no idea. But it was someone who said, very briefly, I'm in the Chattanooga area. I know who he is. His stories are real. And that's it. And then he hung up. So that could have been somebody screwing with us. I don't know. But it was mysteriously creepy. Stephen Haar, it's so ugly. Last Halloween, trick-or-treaters gave me, or I'm so ugly. Last year, trick-or-treaters gave me candy. Well, that's special. That must be an interesting moment for you if that happens. Okay, I think that's most of the questions. Sean, when did the show, when you did the show on the old airbase, I was painting what is now the guest room in our house while listening to the guy tell his story about seeing I Did It written in paint. Oh, yes, that was a great episode. If you go back into our archives, in fact, we did a video piece on that. Called Spirits in the Air early on in the show. And that was about the old Wichita airport, the original airport. It wasn't even an air base. It was the airport for the town. And very haunted location. And the director did an interview with us, and he was in there working away, because it's very much a volunteer or a we don't have much staff type situation, so everybody pitches in to help. And as he was painting, one night at like 2 or 3 in the morning, goes to use the bathroom, comes back, and in paint on the wall is written, "I did it." Who knows what that means, but really creepy, interesting piece. And you can see that I believe it's an EPP exclusive now over at ghostpodcast.com. It's called Spirits in the Air. So you can search it on the EPP site and find that whole. It's about a half hour documentary piece that we did a couple years back. My mom says, "I won 2 costume contests with your MJ costume. You can have it back. Win some more. Go for it." There you go. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our program for today. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for your calls and everything. Join us again next Wednesday, 4 o'clock Central Time, here on Facebook and on YouTube, as we share more real ghost stories. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great night. And thanks for supporting Real Ghost Stories online.